sinners are sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain. They burn the kids, no one lives gone. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. This God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no more things. Cut trees, lie to your faith. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. But anyways, it's the weather's changing on us here, apparently. And wasn't a bad day today. It was kind of nice. The sun was out. It was fairly warm. We got up to about 10, I think, Celsius, and it's cooled down somewhat. Since it's bloody windy out and they're calling for snow squalls here in like 12 days of snow, which I don't think we're going to get here. We're right on Lake Huron. And I think it'll probably hit the hell at higher elevations, and the lake's wide open, so normally this time of year the snow will blow inland. So we'll probably get a little bit of snow, but I don't think we're going to get the 40 to 70 centimeters that they're talking about. Can't see that happening. At least I hope it doesn't happen. And, you know, the weather channel is usually wrong. The weather people are normally wrong. So let's hope they're wrong one more time. Anyways, it appears our so-called prime minister, the Queen's Prime Minister, the CEO of the company called Canada, has, and the courts have basically given the injured veterans, those who went overseas for some oddball reason, and got hurt, shot up, wounded, whatever happened to them. They were looking for their pensions, their disability pensions, their life disability pensions. And the last CEO, Prime Minister of the Queen, CEO of the corporation called Canada, came up with a new plan, and that was to pay these veterans, these injured veterans, a lump sum and cut them loose. But when the veterans sat down and figured it out, they were taking a fairly bad hit versus the pension. So Tinkerbell Trudeau, who's the PM, CEO of Canada right now, he went to bat for the veterans when he ran in the election. And he told them that he would have their pensions reinstituted. Probably took a few selfies with the vets. He does like to take selfies. But after, if I can just get the right wording of this thing, After he got elected, see, you really can't trust a politician, can you? But then there is no politician that represents you. It doesn't operate that way. So what he did was ran around and said that he was, and apparently he was the only leader of a party. That was, you didn't pick the leader of the party picks the leader. And the leader of the party looks out for the party, not the men and women that went for to war or anybody else. So they were called the Equitas members, and Trudeau campaigned with them during the last federal election campaign in 2015. And the Liberals were the only party that promised to reinstate the lifelong pensions. Yet, after the election, the Liberal government continued to fight the court case after coming to power and has yet to reinstate the disability pensions for injured veterans. The government has said it will provide more details by the end of the year, but even then, many veterans are worried that it will fall far short of the previous system of compensation. Now, if you're an illegal alien coming into this country, you won't have any of those problems because the PM and the party and the ever-growing bureaucracy can't apparently pump enough money out for the benefit of those who aren't even supposed to be here. And that's a little troubling. That's not a little troubling, that's big time troubling. But anyways, it just once again shows that the takedown of our nation is well underway. There is no respect for the veterans. There is no respect for the forefathers that built this place. There is no respect if you're European, of European blood. And we have this dick who made a statement. There is no core identity or mainstream in Canada. Those qualities are what make us the first post-national state. And that was in 2015 he said that. Now, this is a little... This is... You can't even, you know, people are saying, well, this is treason. Well, not really. I don't know how a company can be treasonous. And that's what Canada and the United States and all the rest of the countries are. They're all companies. And so how do you nail somebody for treason? Suppose you could nail them for fraud, pretending that they're actually a government. I suppose maybe we could nail them for fraud. But then again, you and I, they don't recognize. They only recognize what they created, and they didn't create the men and women. They created the legal entity. But they don't like us. They're making that very, very clear. If you're of European descent, you're on the hit list. And normally when somebody is, you can't bully. But, you know, what they did to the veterans is a classic case of bullying. And they're bullying the children in the schools. They're bullying the people in the workplace. I don't know how anybody works for a big company. Like, you got to be on eggshells all the time. You never know. You can't say anything because you're likely to offend someone. you know, the phone company called me today. They wanted some money. So I told them how much I was going to pay them, and they asked for my account number, so I gave it to them. Normally, I just give them my phone number, or the phone number. But she wanted my address. I said, let me see. You got the phone number. You've got the account number. But now you want the address. Well, just to verify. Well, who the hell else would call you up to find out how much the phone bill is and give you an account number and a telephone number? Well, I really need the address. Your address, she said. Well, I can give you a address. I can give you the municipality's address of where I'm at. But that certainly is not my address, because I don't own anything. Right? So you say, you know, what's your address? And people, oh, this is my address. Well, it isn't your address. Okay? It's the corporate fictional entity address. Well, it definitely isn't your address, because again, no government body recognizes a man or a woman because they didn't create them. So the whole thing's a big fraud, so I suppose we could go after these people for fraud. You know, this idea that we pay here in Canada, Stan, or at least in Ontario, a tax of 13% on everything you purchase other than food. Well, not all food. If you buy a pizza, you pay tax on it. If you buy a bag of chips, you pay tax on it. So you pay tax on pretty much everything that you purchase. You know, we went and got the insurance redone for the car. So there's your insurance cost plus 13%. So pretty much every transaction that takes place in this province, they take 13% out of your pocket. So they're taking 13% out of all the transactions, or most of the transactions, very few transactions, mostly just regular food stuff. Potatoes you don't pay tax on, bread you don't pay tax on, but for the most part, anything you purchase and any transaction you make, you pay 13% on it. Now, 13%, there's about 15 million people there, give or take, in Ontario. So there's 15 million people out doing their thing all day, every day. And every time they purchase something or buy insurance or whatever it is, you have a 13% tax. Be it your hydro bill, your water bill, everything's taxable. Now, that should generate a hell of a pile of money, you would think. Yet, with the generation of all that money, and we're not talking, you know, we got school tax, you got income tax, you got property taxes, you've just got taxes. And you would think that times 15 million people would generate an awful pile of revenue. Yet, this province is over $300 billion in the hole. This province, I think, is rated as per capita the most in debt place on the freaking planet. Now, how can that possibly be? 13% coming out of your pocket for everything you do, everything you buy, and still manage to go $300 billion in the hole. Now, California, which is a pretty screwed up place, has What have they got? Almost 2.5 times the population of Ontario. They have more population. California has a bigger population than the entire country of Canada, which is the second biggest landmass country on the planet. And yet we have, in Ontario here, more debt than the state of California. There has to be a reason for it. And the only reason you can really look at is back to Morris Strong, who said, isn't the only hope for the planet is that the industrialized nations collapse? Isn't that our responsibility to help bring that about? And that's exactly what's going on. We're being taken down. Not by an army sitting offshore firing missiles at us. We're being taken down from the inside by the people we pay their salaries and their pensions. And I think I hear a telephone ringing, do I? Can you grab that, dear? Artie? Oh. Anyways, so I'm going to go look.
Anybody home? Hello, hello. Anyway, it's Paul. I was just calling for my friend Steve there, who was going to come by and see the house tomorrow at about 3:40, 20 to 4. Can you call back? 519-832-8866. And just want to confirm it for him. Okay? Ciao.
Sorry for the dead air, folks, but that was important. I got a house I'm trying to rent. Anyways, I want to delve into this. I ran across this thing, and this is the problem with my friends in Canada and the United States and everywhere else, is everybody stays on the superficial side of things. You know, people either love Trump or hate Trump. I think everybody hates Trudeau. Even the ones that loved him hate him now, I think. But don't get in. It's all superficial. You know, the leaders are really not leaders. They're really window dressing. And now a lot of people like Trump, and I like what Trump said about, you know, we're going to make America great again. That's hot damn. But he's tied to Israel. And the United Nations is still sitting on American soil. So I have to question. I see that they got the court order through to stop anyone coming in from Muslim countries, which is a big bonus for Americans, but ain't much good for us because Canada partnered with the UN Refugee Agency, and George Soros, Mr. Nice Guy, and his open societies to flood our nation with Islam. And so that's not good. And I've said it before, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a back, you know, a side door attack on America. We load in enough people from Islamic countries into here, and whatever happens down the road, whether Trump gets voted back in or gets assassinated or whatever, that would open the border from the north. And the border's been open from the south into the United States for some period of time. And, you know, that almost like a vice kind of thing, grinding away on people. But anyways, this is the Canadian Action Plan 2016 to 2018. So if you're listening to this, I highly recommend that you just Google in Open Government Partnership. Now, the little logo at the top of the page here looks interestingly like a barcode. In a way, the top three quarters of it is just black, or it could look like something you would plug into a computer. But the bottom part of it, which I would call the barcode part of it, it's all rainbow colors, just like the LGBTQ. Pretty interesting stuff. So what this is this is set up where the countries report to this open government partnership. And then we're obligated to do certain things. And the primary office is Washington, D.C. office, which is primary, so I take it as the primary office, at Vermont Avenue, Northwest, Suite 500. It's 1110 Vermont Avenue, Washington, D.C. And it was set up by... we have a whole pile of documents here. Now, these documents are all done, and it's not reported in the... this is the Government of Canada. This is the third biennial plan to open government partnership, 2016-2018. And Her Majesty, the Queen in Right of Canada, represented by the President of the Treasury Board, 2016. This document is available at... www.open.canada.ca. Open Canada, open borders. Table of contents. Towards an open and transparent government, a joint effort, the Open Government Partnership, progress to date, developments, Development Canada's third annual plan. Canada's open government commitments and access to information, streamline requests for personal information, expand and improve open data, provide and preserve open information, define an approach for measuring open government performance, develop open government skills across the federal public service, embed transparency requirements in the federal service strategy, enhance access to culture, heritage collections, fiscal transparency, innovation, prosperity, and sustainable development, increase the availability and usability of geospatial data, increase openness of federal science activities, stimulate innovation through Canada's open data exchange, align open data across Canada, implement the Extractive Sector Transparency Measures Act. That'll be your mining in that. Support openness and transparency initiatives around the world. Canadians and the world, engage civil society in an open government. Enable an open dialogue and open public policy making. Promote open government globally. Engage Canadians to improve key Canada Revenue Agency services. Conclusion. Summary of Canada's third biennial plan to the government partnership 2016-2018. Now, this is really nasty stuff. Okay? This is about global voting. Okay? This is about the... this is really headed hard for global government. And what you're going to end up with here, read stuff like this a long time ago, the whole idea is that there's too many resources being used on the planet, according to these data freaks, that we're using like 1.5 of Earth's finite resources. So we're using half the Earth's resources more each year than the planet can renew. And the idea of this is to hand over all resources to a central global government. Because you see, the resource use is a global problem, which requires a global solution for a problem cooked up by the globalists in order that the globalists control everything. And the idea in time is, we have the UNPA, it's been around for a long time, United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, where they're trying to build a world parliament where the world parliamentarians, not you in your nation, decide where you can dig a hole or if you can use water or if they're going to ship your water out. Because if you live in Canada, and unless you're completely brain dead or completely deaf, you heard this a gazillion times, that Canadians are water hogs and energy hogs. And so somebody has to stop us. Even though there's only 35 million, 36 million of us here, which is less than the state of California. But we are using way too much water, way too much energy, and that has to stop. So what you're going to end up here with, that's what all this high-speed internet, they don't give a shit if you got high-speed or low-speed internet. This is about voting. It's about voting. So someone from some small country will come up with a problem. They don't have enough water or something, and should people use less water? Well, us in the West are the minority, and the vote will never go our way. And so this is very, very, very important. Now, this little smiley puke here on this page, he looks awful familiar to me. Who is he? Let's see. This is an exciting time for Canadians. The government of Canada is fully committed to raising the bar on openness and transparency. That's odd, you know, because when I phoned Harper's office, and now I guess I have to phone Trudeau's office, but when I phoned Harper's office to ask his people what Harper meant at the G20 meeting when he said that this, the G20 meeting, is a loss of national sovereignty. And his people went, oh, that, yeah, that. You know, it was never put out in the media anywhere, even though he said it at a media scrum. It was kept absolutely quiet. Now, there's a video of it. But the media never dealt with it. So what exactly did the so-called prime minister of this country mean when he said the G20 was a loss of national sovereignty? And the response I got from his people was, that was unfortunate, but we're not allowed to discuss that. Well, wait a minute, don't you work for me? Of course they don't. Never did. I don't know why people think politicians or governments represent them. If they represented you, how the hell did you get so far in the hole? Right? Anyways, they're going to raise the bar of openness and transparency. Upon assuming office in 2015, the Prime Minister issued an open letter to Canadians to repeat his commitment. In ministerial mandate letters to each of his cabinet ministers, the Prime Minister again reinforced his expectation that all federal ministers will do their part to ensure an open, honest government. This is the government that when they were campaigning, were running around with the vets who were disabled in the Afghani war, I guess. Saying that they were going to reinstate the pensions because they're an open, honest government, and then after elected gives the veterans a middle finger. An honest government is accountable to Canadians. Whoa, there's a mouthful. Well, if you're accountable to us, then I guess we can come up and poke you in the face for opening our borders to all of the Islamic groups that are rolling in here, and for not getting the disabled vets their pensions back. I would think that would be accountable. An honest government that is accountable to Canadians. Well, let's stop there a second, because when I went back and studied the setup of this government, when it first got cooked up, what I ran across was a statement that said, "We gave you responsible government," but the word responsible and responsible government doesn't have the dictionary meaning of the word responsible. Meaning they're not responsible, you are. Because responsible are those who are chargeable, liable, and accountable. And no government has ever been held accountable, nor have they been held liable, nor have they ever been chargeable. But they're all liars, so I guess you can put down whatever you want on a piece of paper. Lives up to the highest ethical holy crap. I got to phone Trudeau's office now. Lives up to the highest ethical standards and advances Canada's priorities with a renewed sense of collaboration. Along with collaborating more within the federal government, we will work with First Nations, provinces, territories, municipalities, along with the rest of our partners around the world. You don't have any partners around the world, you twit. You were put in place to look after the affairs of Canada, not to partner with people like the United Nations or organizations like the United Nations Refugee Agency or George Soros Open Societies or the Aga Khan or any of these other of your so-called partners. We didn't give you a mandate to run around partnering with people or different organizations. Your job is to make sure that we have a stable economy, that what the government does is to the benefit of the people. Now, shutting down our energy systems and replacing it with whirligigs that sometimes move when the wind blows is not what you would call responsible and or accountable. But politicians' brains seem to, they don't seem to work like the rest of ours. Anyways, we look forward to tackling the challenges that open information, open dialogue will present to us, because we recognize that we will better serve Canadians by collaborating not only within government, but also with citizens and civil society. Public engagement needs to be a critical component of everything we do. Right. As president of the Treasury Board, I am responsible for maintaining our international relationships with the Open Government Partnership, and I welcome the important role we play. I embrace the opportunity for Canada to be a global leader towards more open and transparent government. The plan lays out our agenda, not your agenda, not the people's agenda, but their agenda. The plan lays out our agenda for the next 2 years, our longer-term vision for success as the Canadians can engage meaningfully with the governments through open dialogue, open government data and information to support innovation and hold government accountable for the decisions we make. The only way that you'll ever be held accountable is if we line you up against the wall and shoot you. Now, that would be accountability. Let's see. This is a note here from the Right Honorable Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada. Canadians, and this is a quote, "Canadians need to have faith in their government's honesty and willingness to listen. That is why we committed to set a higher bar for openness and transparency in Ottawa. Government and its information must be open by default. Simply put, it is time to shine more light on government to make sure it remains focused on the people it was created to serve. And that is you." Now, this is a quote from the Jackass. It is a partner with George Soros, who admits that it was his doing that destroyed the economy of the Philippines, of which he showed no remorse for, because he said no remorse can be shown for that because it was an amoral act. And amoral is very close to a asshole, one with no moral values whatsoever, which is your government. Introduction. Openness and transparency are fundamental to ensuring Canadians trust their government. And in democracy overall, citizens expect their government to be open, transparent, and accountable. They also expect their government to deliver real, meaningful results in a fair, efficient, responsible manner. The Government of Canada's commitment to openness is intended to foster greater transparency and accountability and to help create a more cost-effective, efficient, and responsive government for all Canadians. Now, this is coming from a guy that has pissed more billions of dollars out the window overseas than anybody else in history. But it's cost-effective somehow. These guys must be absolutely laughing their asses off when they write this crap. Hey, Jimmy, come here. Look what I just wrote. That's a beauty, man. I'm telling you, these people need to be held accountable for sure. But not in that what they think is accountable, which is not accountable. We need to hold them accountable. Towards an open, transparent government, figures prominently in the agenda of the federal government in December 2015, speech from the throne, and the most recent federal budget. There's links to this stuff. In March 2016, the government committed to Canadians and parliamentarians to raise the bar for openness and transparency. Restore trust in public institutions by conducting business in an open and transparent way and making sure Canadians' voices are heard. Because, see, restore trust in public institutions by conducting business. It is business. Okay, it is a business. The country is a business. Okay, it is not your government. It is a business. And you are the collateral for the loans. And you are accountable for the debt. And if you don't cross at the red light, well, you're accountable for a ticket for jaywalking. Leadership in an open government is shared responsibility across government, with many cabinet ministers having responsibility for leading specific transparency. Key examples include the creation of a chief science officer by the Ministry of Science to ensure that government science is fully available to the public. Electoral and Senate reform by the Minister of Democratic Institutions to strengthen the openness and fairness of Canada's public institutions. Work by the Minister of Finance and the President of the Treasury Board to make government accounting and financial reporting more consistent, transparent, and understandable to Canadians, and to review a review of the Access of Information Act by the President of the Treasury Board, working with ministers of justice and democratic institutions, as well as efforts to accelerate and expand initiatives to help Canadians easily access and use open data. And this thing goes on. A joint effort. What do we got here? The Treasury Board and the Ministry is responsible for coordinating the development and implementation of Canada's National Action Plan on Open Government. In Budget 2016, the Government of Canada announced an investment of $11.5 million over 5 years to double the Treasury Board's capacity to support engagement with Canadians, design and deliver an ambitious open government strategy, and to accelerate provision of digital content. Has also provided $12.9 million over 5 years to make it easier for Canadians to access government information, including their personal information. Well, this is all stuff that's yours anyway. So here we've got, $23 million that you're paying for at interest. You know, the government says, announce an investment. The government ain't got no money. Canada's a trillion freaking dollars in the hole at interest. But the Canada has invested $23 million to be open. Reed closed and hidden. Let's see, what else we got here? Beyond the activities of federal departments and agencies, these other levels of government are also actively involved in open government, provinces, territories, and municipalities. Well, according to the federal government, municipalities are not government. They say municipalities are not government. They're more like a type of business is how they're described. So here they're talking about other levels of government are also involved in open government. Province, territories, and municipalities across the country are making key advances. That's called global to local, implementing the global agendas at the local municipal levels, and open data and open dialogue responsibility for many important issues such as climate change. Now that's a really important issue. Okay, so when you have your government calling climate change an important issue, you know that everything else they've told you so far about being open, transparent is a freaking out-and-out lie. Education and growing the economy is shared across multiple levels of government. Now, there's another problem in this country. What we've sunken to is government in charge of creating employment using your money. Governments are not there to create jobs. Okay? They are there simply to make sure that they're fiscally responsible, which they never have been, or it wouldn't be $1 trillion in the hole. And their job is to get infrastructure and that in place to encourage entrepreneurs to put themselves at risk, not the general taxpayer, the general population, but the entrepreneurs, the people who can actually think. But now it's got to the point where you trying to get something going in this country is all about the government. And the government has done it over and over and over and over. The government, is investing $50 million in such and such a company to get it off the ground, to innovate. Well, wait a minute. If this is such an innovative outfit, why don't they go raise the $50 million? Okay, this is Marxism, communism, whatever the hell you want to call it. But it certainly isn't a society where entrepreneurs, their job is to go and raise the money, not go to the government and said, I got something that can screw the people of the country better. Oh, that's great. Here's 50 mil. And then the government makes a big do in the newspaper, the government of Canada is investing. Hold it. Oh, wait a minute. You are a business, aren't you? Must be nice to have a business where you're not on the hook for the debt, like an entrepreneur is. Governments in Canada, anyways, I'm going to continue this, are committed to working together through a collaborative, coordinated approach. Partners can bring together that information from across the jurisdictions. In turn, this can provide Canadian information seekers with a single view of the data information they want, regardless of where it originates. Read much larger bureaucracy. Now, where's that word that makes me nuts every time I see it? Partners. Now, they did this thing. This is straight through the United Nations. This is straight through the Rockefeller Foundation and the other foundations, this idea of partnering. The open government partnership, open government, is increasingly becoming a global priority. Governments around the world are taking advantage of digital technology to advance transparency and make information more readily available to the public. This, in turn, can feed innovation and permit citizens to participate more fully in the activities of government. Open Government Partnership is a multilateral initiative to foster greater transparency and accountability, improve governance, and increase civic engagement worldwide. I'm telling you, the vote, the global vote, is not too damn far off. Now, this is not the crap you read in your local newspapers. This is not the crap that you see the talking heads on the 6 or 11 o'clock news spewing. No. No. North Korea might have a nuclear weapon. What will we do? Here's Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner. You know, all bullshit all the time. Just a bunch of frickin' noise to keep you distracted so you don't go read something. Meanwhile, in the background, you will find, I mean, Jimmy Carter's still at it. How old's he? 90, 92? He's still working because these people sold their souls and they are committed till they drop dead. Now, you go looking around, you will find ex-senators, ex-governors, ex-provincial premiers. You will find all of these people are still working to tear down your nations. They don't disappear. When they leave office, they most certainly don't disappear. They keep on working. This in turn can feed innovation and permit citizens to participate more fully in the activities of government. Are you serious? You ever fall into a government agency and ask them a simple question, and if you push them for an answer, what are you going to get? I don't feel comfortable. I'm going to hang up now. I'm serious. It's bloody ridiculous. Or they play you basically, it sounds like a lot of these government agencies are playing like Russian march music or something. I mean, this is out of hand. The Open Government Partnership is a multilateral initiative to foster greater transparency, accountable, improved governance, and increase civic engagement. OGP members are expected to develop national action plans to be implemented over a two-year period. Plans must advance the principles of transparency, accountability, citizens' participation, and technology innovation. The OGP also expects countries to select one or more grand challenges and identify related commitments that reflect their unique context. The OGP's five grand challenges are improving public service. Well, let's see. The people in my country are getting poorer by the day. There's more people living on the streets. There's more people just generally becoming very depressed and stressed out. But the grand challenges is about improving public services, measures that address the full range of citizen services by fostering public service improvement or private sector innovation. Now, that private sector innovation is about what the Strongs and the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, UN have been talking about for a long time. This is about rule by corporation. Now, you got to go back to Morris Strong because he said a lot of really good stuff. Like, I believe in capitalism for me and my friends and socialism for everyone else. Okay, so the international companies are going to have complete and total access to all of the resources, and you are going to be screwed. Increasing public integrity, measures that address corruption and public ethics, access to information, campaign finance reform, and media and civil society freedoms. More effectively managing public resources, which means measuring that the measures that address budgets, procurement, natural resources, and foreign assistance. Creating safer communities, measures that address public safety, the security sector, Okay, so cameras on every step you take, because it's about public safety, isn't it? Disaster and crisis response and environmental threats. Now, I go with this one because environmental threats I'm quite concerned about. I was walking down the street and I heard a booming noise come out of the sky, and it was the environment threatening me. It actually threatened me. And so we need security, and we need these global government to save us from environmental threats. Environmental bullying, I guess you could call it. And the last one here is increasing corporate accountability, measures that address corporate responsibility on issues such as the environment, anti-corruption, consumer protection, and community engagement. Doesn't this sound like a fun future? Anyways, progress to date. Let's see what we got here. I'm on page 7. This is a 42-page document, which everybody would read. Now, this isn't just about Canada, folks. Okay? I'm going to put this link in at the end, but all you have to do is Google Open Government Partnership. You will find a humongous site with the founders, the founding countries. United States was one of them, I think. Now, I can't remember. One of the countries, one of the European bloc countries who was a member of this, I guess, caught wind of really what this was about. And I can't remember. It was Hungary. It could have been Hungary. Basically told these people to piss right off, and they left. And that's what the rest of us have to do. Anyways, more than 50 deliverables and activities were completed Canada's second action plan on open government included 12 commitments under three key pillars: open data, open information, open dialogue. More than 50 deliverables and activities were completed, such as launching a new open government portal, which is open.canada.ca, which I haven't been to yet. Canada.ca portal was officially launched way back in November 2014. Now, who in the hell, unless I've been in the dark, knows about open.canada.ca, which was launched in November 14. It features enhanced navigation and search capabilities, semantic open data communities, improved consultation, engagement capacity, tools for national open government partners, and one-stop access to information provided by departments. Issuing directive on open government designed to maximize and release of eligible federal data and information. This directive requires departments and agencies develop and publish plans for implementing the directive's requirements over 5 years. Now, they're talking about open government now. Okay, and open government. If you're an open government, why are the talking heads and the newspapers and the radio stations telling you over and over and over again that we're the, according to Trudeau, the first post-national state, and that all of your assets are being handed over to a small group of thieving, conniving, treacherous, treasonous pricks? Now, that would be open. Another open discussion was, you remember we told you about climate change? Well, that was just to suck money out of your pocket and keep you scared. So our global corporate partners, they could fleece you for a lot of cash. Now, that would be open government, I suppose. That would be accountable. That would be at least truthful. Hosting the International Open Data Conference, Canada hosted the third International Open Data Conference in May 2015, the largest event of its kind to date. I never heard of that. The IODC provided a forum for more than 1,000 representatives from the international open data community to come together to develop a roadmap for enhanced global, not Canadian, but global collaboration on open data. In the last 8 months, Canada has undertaken additional activities to enhance open government both at home and abroad, and demonstrated a strong commitment to openness and transparency. Publication of mandate letters for the first time in Canada's history. Mandate letters from the Prime Minister to all federal cabinet ministers were published online so Canadians can better understand the government's priorities and have the necessary tools to hold government accountable on its commitments. Now, there's a lot of links in this, so I'm going to put this in the chat at the end here, which is coming up pretty quick. And I want everybody to go through this. And I want my American friends to, get to your American, the primary address for this is Washington, D.C., but get to Open Government Partnership and spread the word on this thing, okay? I don't give a damn about North Korea, okay? And that's all distraction. Nothing but distraction. They keep talking about accountability here, so what we're going to do is we're going to hold these sons of bitches accountable because they said they want to be held accountable. So we got to take them up on their request. And accountable they are going to be. We have the Open International Open Data Charter. Canada championed the development of a new international open data charter in collaboration with governments and civil society organizations around the world. This provides a foundation of global open data principles, standards, and practice to enable jurisdictions around the world to strengthen implementation of their own open data initiatives. More than 20 governments have formally adopted the charter, with nearly 30 additional private and civil society organizations around the world also endorsing the charter's principles. February 2016, the OGP's independent reporting mechanism published its report on Canada's progress in implementing its second action plan. Now, these action plans, okay, are templates, just like the templates that are filled out at your municipal halls. These all come out of a central think tank or psycho tank. Then these templates are spread around. They're called action plans or vision statements. Then they're filled out, and different places fill out different stuff. And then it said, oh, look what Canada did, or look what Brazil did. Oh, we should implement that over here, right? That's the game. And everybody's going to be a leader, you know? Germany was going to be a leader in wind. But then Canada got involved, and Canada's going to be leader in the wind. This is a race to global government, folks. I'm going to put this in the chat because we're out of time by the look of it. And I want people to pay attention to this. I want you to understand the wording in it. I want you to understand what it means because it ain't good. So this is a PDF. That I was reading from, and you can get to the main site and read it, pass it down, make sure that your friends, neighbors, family know what the hell this is.
They kill, they mass off the brain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives.